This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Everything seems lovely when you start to roam. The birds are singing the day that you stray. But wait until you are further away. Things won't be so lovely when you're all alone. Here's what you'll keep saying when you're far from home. Mammy, Mammy, the sun shines east, the sun shines west. I know where the sun shines best. Mammy, my little mammy, my heart strings are tangled around Alabama.
Oh, there you go.
I'm a coming.
Well, what do you want? Mother's Day on Sunday. We got to bring up something to do with mothers, and we thought Al Jolson's mammy. Did you know that he was considered and voted the greatest entertainer of the first half of the 20th century, Al Jolson? That's how popular that guy was. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. We are the second half of the 20th century and the first part of the 21st century, most important program. Anyway, it is Friday, May the 6th, and we thank you for being with us. Along with my buddy Big Ed, we are delighted to be talking with you today. In a few minutes, Tyler Harris, Executive Director of the National Libertarian Party, is going to join us. We are going to talk about the Libertarian Party's position on Roe versus Wade. I think you're going to find it very interesting. We're going to talk to him about what his party thinks of the law and whether it should be overturned. A lot of people are worried about that right now, or gleeful about it. And the stock market, it plummeted over 1,000 points yesterday. Were you grabbing your wallet for a while, huh? Meantime, the April jobs report comes out, shows solid job growth. So we got sort of a Jekyll and Hyde thing going on here. We will get some thoughts on what to do with your money, if anything, with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, a very wealthy Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. So stay tuned for that. And what does an abortion survivor, somebody that, let's face it, went through some pain at the beginning of their life, what do they think of overturning Roe versus Wade? What do you think they would think? Well, we've got somebody, and we're going to talk about that person a little bit later in the show. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, if you're ready to buy a car this year, the top 10 most dependable vehicles, according to J.D. Powers, the top 10 most dependable vehicles in 2022. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, it's Mother's Day. You got this weekend to look your best when you go visit Mother. She wants to see you. She wants to see you with a nice haircut. So get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop, which is located in the Overcash Plaza just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. You'll get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. And by the way, the price is great. Let me tell you. And if you're a senior like I am, it's even better. So get over there. It's get your reservation in first. Call 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Well, I guess this is some good news in the horrible news we're having from like everywhere. The U.S. economy saw solid job growth last month, April, suggesting the labor market is still going strong despite high prices and everything else going on. Rising interest rates, soaring inflation, all kinds of things. Employers added 428,000 jobs in April. And that was better than what they thought. The forecast was for around 390,000. The unemployment rate stayed the same, 3.6%. That's pretty good. overall. That's pretty doggone good. Job gains, pretty broad-based. Biggest hikes, where the jobs were going. Leisure and hospitality, that seems to be leading the list most recently. Manufacturing gained 55,000 jobs. Transportation and warehousing, 52,000. Businesses are looking for people. There got to be a lot of people out there. You can't say that there aren't jobs available. Now, you might, you know, you're not going to walk into some cushy job right away. But you never have been able to do that unless daddy owns the company, right? So you got to work your way up. But there are all kinds of jobs that are available. You just got to look for them. So don't make any excuses about how bad things are. Go ahead, Ed.
I'm still seeing the help wanted signs. Not as many and not as what I call the desperate signs for help wanted. $500 advance.
That's a desperate.
Free meals. My favorite was work today, get paid today.
I'm
not seeing those anymore. So
the desperates are not looking right now.
So maybe those people that were holding out for the bigger, better job are finally going back to the ones that they were at.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. The problem is, despite all of this good news, it still costs you more for everything. Everything. Everything costs more right now.
Right. The jobs are there.
A year ago, everything was less.
But the wages are not going up.
They're not going up.
Inflation is.
And if they are going up, they're still not catching up.
And inflation is. That's the problem.
Exactly. Now, we have something else going on, and sometimes it's completely separate, and that's the stock market. And yesterday, the stock market dropped by over 1,000 points. Over 1,000 points. That's a scary number. Now, right now, the last I looked, they're still down. It's about 400-some points down. Okay, so that's kind of a scary deal. But believe it or not, overall, if I can find it here, we're it's looking real bad right now, but we've been slowly kind of doing okay for the last short period of time. But the Dow Jones yesterday posted its worst day since 2020, so that's for almost 2 years. Futures were down 188 points. Standard & Poor 500 futures were down substantially. Let's see here. Technology stocks bore the brunt of the damage. So people were dumping their technology stocks a little bit.
Could that somehow be Trump's fault?
Well, we can blame him.
Okay.
Joe Biden's blaming him. Mm. Joe Biden is blaming him for higher gas prices.
Yes.
He's blaming him for inflation. He's probably blaming him for the Ukrainian war.
Yes.
He's probably still blaming him for Afghanistan.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Did you know, by the way, and I don't have it, I wasn't going to talk about it, but it's kind of funny. Did you know that they won't hold any press conferences or speeches or anything by Biden in the Oval Office? And do you know why?
Why?
There's no teleprompter in there. No, I'm not kidding.
Really?
They have set up a phony studio-like Oval Office. It's not really the Oval Office. Did you know that? He goes into a studio. It's a studio with a teleprompter and the cameras and the lighting and everything perfect for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made to look like the Oval Office.
So where all the other presidents, former presidents, have done these major...
And gone into the actual Oval Office.
Sitting at their desk.
Sitting at the desk at the Oval Office.
Now, I noticed they always had some sort of a pad in front of them. You know, not a yellow pad, an official folder to keep them on point.
Correct.
So you're saying that he can't do that?
No. No, he needs a teleprompter. He can't...
I can see where he could, forget and start talking about today's lunch.
He could. Or his ice cream habits.
Oh.
Or his former, touching everybody and their habits and that kind of thing.
The good old days of sniffing people.
Listen, we're going to take our break. Enough of this nonsense. And I'm really looking forward to talking with Tyler Harris of the National Libertarian Party. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about Roe versus Wade.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday, 2 days before Mother's Day. I hope you children remember that. Take your mom out to dinner or get her some flowers or do something. Mainly give her your attention. That's the main thing, right?
Phone call.
Yeah, a phone call at least. My goodness, if she's not close by. Don't do the texting. Mom doesn't like texting. She wants to hear your voice. She deserves to hear your voice, right? All right. Well, Senate Democrats next week, Wednesday, are going to call for a vote to codify Roe versus Wade, the 1973 Supreme Court decision, and get it into the legislature. Now, the chances of them actually getting that far to take the vote are slim and none. It will be a procedural vote, and Republicans will block it, and they won't get it to the floor for a vote. That's almost certainly what will happen, because the Republicans will filibuster it. And mainly, Republicans want to get the decision on abortion back to the states on an individual basis. But we've got Tyler Harris, the executive director of the National Libertarian Party, joining us, and we're going to talk a little bit about Roe versus Wade. I saw an email, Tyler, very well put. I think your colleague, Becca Congdon, might have written it. I'm not sure, but talked a little bit about the nuanced approach that the Libertarian Party has to the question of abortion and Roe versus Wade. So now we've got the Supreme Court, and a lot of people are thinking that they want to overturn Roe versus Wade. I'm not actually sure that that is what that leak shows, but first of all, welcome to FreedomWorks. Tell me, this is a very, you know, for libertarians, and I'm a libertarian, small L, this is a tricky one. Don't you agree?
Yeah, thank you. And first of all, it's great to be on. Thank you.
Oh, our pleasure.
Listeners.
Looking forward to talking.
I think the Libertarian Party is pretty unique in modern politics in recognizing that this is a very nuanced position, that this is not a question with easy answers. And that's why the Libertarian Party harbors a wide variety of spectrum of opinions on the topic of abortion. We've got libertarians that come at this from lots of different angles, and the core to our official platform position on abortion is recognizing that people of good faith can hold positions on all sides of the issue.
Yes, and I know it's a very, people will take their positions, whether or not an unborn child or whatever you would like to call it has a right to life.
Mm-hmm.
And those that tend to be pro-life will go to the fact that we even talk about it in the Declaration of Independence, the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. But on the other, the other side of the coin, well, it's a mother's choice. So here we go, and Roe versus Wade has been on the books since 1973. Has the Libertarian Party been pretty consistent in kind of taking a position somewhere in the middle of all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Libertarian Party has been fairly consistent in charting its own course on this and so many other issues. And, you know, one of the things that we see, certainly with Democrats and Republicans in the modern era, is that abortion is so often deployed as a wedge issue. So when, you know, when Democrats start to realize that their party is not delivering on promises on criminal justice reform or immigration reform, or to behold the special interest to make an impact on education, abortion is something that can be deployed to pull voters back in line behind maintaining a status quo that really even they don't support. And the same thing happens on the right when Republicans control government and you see out-of-control spending anyway, increased debt, feeding into the inflation problems that we have now. But you can always say, hey, you better stay in line because, you know, we're the party of the right to life. And so there's a way that abortion is used very cynically in politics that I think is really destructive to us having a system that really represents the interests of most Americans.
Yes. The Libertarian Party is known for their fight to uphold individual rights,
mm-hmm.
individual rights. And I've always found it hard to justify, quite frankly, not wanting to defend an unborn child, as in, do they not have that same right? Now, I think that's where it gets foggy, you know? Do they not have a right if everybody else does in terms of that philosophy? Tell me how you would answer that one.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's the core of what makes it such a difficult question, because I think most libertarians will recognize that there are, to some extent, rights in conflict. You know, we acknowledge self-ownership and sovereignty over one's body, and bodily autonomy is obviously very important and core to the concept of libertarianism. And there is a key question in the abortion discussion about when and where personhood begins. And I think that's a question that's difficult to have easy one-size-fits-all answers to that everyone's going to accept and get behind simultaneously. I think the core of the libertarian position, though, is to recognize that to the extent that there's not widespread agreement on some of those core questions, it's really important that as we engage with those difficult issues, we treat each other with compassion and with understanding and with a fundamental recognition of the respect and dignity that comes inherently along with our fundamental humanity. And that goes for everyone involved in the unfortunate situation that we contemplate when we contemplate abortion, but also goes with everyone on all sides of those arguments. I think to the extent that we dehumanize each other, we do a disservice to trying to grapple with a very difficult
thing. Yeah, but I think, and I don't want to get into any kind of like mm-hmm. back and forth, but once we have established, and everybody would agree, that we have established a, quote, personhood to that unborn child, personhood.
Sure.
Let's say we all say, okay, at this point, it is a person. Would the Libertarian Party not want to say, therefore, it should be protected from that point on?
Sure, and I think what you're describing is a position that is definitely represented within the Libertarian Party. You know, one of those positions that's represented along the spectrum. And absolutely, the Libertarian Party is fundamentally based around the idea of individual rights and individual sovereignty and the belief that rights inhere in the individual person. They're not granted by government. They're not determined by a court ruling. They're not handed down to you by a president or a governor or a legislative body, that your rights are inherent to you, and you know
So once personhood is established, So once personhood is established, Libertarian Party is pretty much on the side of that person, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, gotcha. We're talking with Tyler Harris. He's executive director of the Libertarian National Party, and we're talking a little bit about Roe versus Wade, but I want to mention, Tyler, now that we've got this leakage from the Supreme Court, and I'm not sure that it would guarantee that the court would rule against Roe versus Wade. I think it's been like a little bit of a football amongst those justices right now. We got a draft from somebody. Everybody's jumping on the fact that, oh, this is going to be overturned. Look, we just got this leak. I'm not so sure about that, but we will find out maybe down the road. But in connection with this leak, there have been some, let's say, threats to the Supreme Court justices, particularly those that are the conservative justices on the court, to the point of doxing, in other words, giving out the address of their homes so that people can go over there and protest. I wanted to get your thought on that. Also, there's a group that has said they are going to go after Catholics because Catholics, by and large, support the life of the child, you know, are against Roe versus Wade. So we're getting all of this animosity that is bubbling up here. What do you think about all that?
I mean, you know, another thing that a lot of people don't realize, but it's so fundamental to the Libertarian Party that it's actually part of what all of our members agree to when joining, is an opposition to using aggressive force for any kind of political purposes, to advance any kind of social goals. The idea of deploying violence as a political tool is really abhorrent to everything that a philosophy built around individual liberty is about. So, you know, I think to the extent that our political system is so polarized and that the issue has become so weaponized and used to work people up into such a furor that there are, you know, credible concerns about whether violence would happen, I think is really disheartening and unfortunate and a product of how these wedge issues are deployed in a very damaging way.
Sure. So tell us a little bit about how the National Libertarian Party is doing these days. Are they? I know that they win a lot of local victories, and a lot of people in Congress and even some of the presidents have said how libertarian they really are, but they don't necessarily belong to any particular party. I guess the closest guy we've got right now that would be a libertarian that everybody recognizes is Rand Paul. How is the National Libertarian Party faring these days?
The National Libertarian Party is doing fantastically. Around the country, we have now over 300 elected libertarians in office, and by that I mean capital L libertarians in office.
Party members.
Most of those, as you mentioned, are in local office. We do have a libertarian currently sitting in the Wyoming State House. That is a big accomplishment for the first time in...
Is that Wyoming? I'm sorry.
Generation. Yeah, in Wyoming.
Okay. Is that the highest... Yeah. Is that the highest reaching libertarian that's in office right now in the Wyoming House?
That's our highest representative currently. Mm-hmm. He recently made history out there by a bill that he put forward became the first bill that we've been able to track down that has ever passed the state legislature with tripartisan co-sponsorship. So we've really been able to be effective out there in rolling back some regulatory burdens and making good progress in a libertarian direction. Mm-hmm. And really demonstrating that the Libertarian Party is not just a gadfly party. We're not just out there to run candidates that raise important issues, so that is certainly something we do. But that we're a party that can be elected to government and achieve important things while there.
I want to get back to Roe for a final question, if I might, Tyler, and that is, if Roe was overturned and the states determined for themselves the question of abortion, do you think that would be, let's say, sensible? Would that be a good alternative? Do you think it would be closer to the people and therefore it's a better way of dealing with that issue?
Well, I think libertarians have a pretty acute understanding that when government tries to get involved in solving a problem, there's a lot of reasons to be worried about that. And, you know, there are perhaps no more terrifying words in the English language than "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
Yes, I think Reagan said that a couple of times.
Yeah. And so I think that there's, I think there are real flags in terms of worrying about a heavy-handed approach of government trying to come in, especially since there is such a wide variety of individual perspectives and a wide range of thought and debate that can be had in good faith around this issue for the government to try to impose a solution on this, whether it's the federal government or state governments. I think there's a lot for libertarians to be concerned about as government tries to police any issue.
Well, at least it's getting a little closer to the people, right, if it gets to the states rather than some sort of a federal dictate. But anyway, Tyler, it's been a pleasure talking with you. I'd like to do this on a regular basis with you where we can bring you in on a particular topic if you'd be so averse, and we can keep in touch that way.
That would be great. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me on, and thank you to your listeners.
Our pleasure. Thank you. Tyler Harris. All right. Very interesting. Very thoughtful, I think. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, the stock market plummeting over 1,000 points, jobs report solid, sort of Jekyll and Hyde. We're going to get some thoughts on all of this, as well as a few other things, from the master barber himself, Andrew Ceraci.
I hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, get your calendars out because Senior Voice America is going to an every morning format from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Your hosts Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger shall have even more time to discuss politics, religion, finance, and health. So set your dials, you early bird seniors, and join the call-in party every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on your Tantalk Radio Network. SBA, improving your day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. We are back. Do you call this a pre-Mother's Day weekend? I'm not sure how that works out, but indeed, Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday. In the meantime, Jen Psaki was questioned about whether or not these activists that are mainly liberals should be going to the homes of conservative Supreme Court justices and rallying and picketing and screaming and somewhat intimidating both they and their families. In most cases, these people are encountering the families of these justices and not the justices themselves at the time. Why doesn't she just come out, Jen Psaki, who, by the way, is about to leave the position. She's going to get some sort of big-time deal going on with one of the liberal networks. I guess it's MSNBC. Why doesn't she come out and say, hey, don't go intimidating the justices? That's horrible. That's really kind of scary when it comes to trying to keep our country together, particularly, you know, with all these other things going on.
What do you say? We just give out her address.
Yeah. Exactly. I agree with you. I think somebody should stand up and say, by the way, Jen, we're going to give out your address. See how you like it.
I mean, our Supreme Court justices, do they have no security whatsoever?
They have security.
In their homes?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they've always had security. You know, every big-time politician has got their homes guarded, and they're guarded and everything. We know that. But, you know, still, to put their addresses out... Come on. I think that's an invasion of privacy.
What happened to that presidential promises to unite the country, reunite
exactly.
The country?
Yeah, that went down the toilet rather quickly. Anyway, we've got the proprietor of the barber pole with us, Andrew Ceraci. And Andrew, we're getting off the subject maybe a little bit, although maybe you'd rather talk about that Well, you know what?
Biden did unite the country.
He did, didn't he? They all hate
everybody,
him.
Everybody against him.
Yes, I agree with you. Did you hear us talk a little earlier? You know, he doesn't even go into the Oval Office to give a speech or take questions.
No, they got their fake office.
They got a fake office. Because they apparently they can't figure out a way to put a teleprompter in the Oval Office, which I can't figure out myself. Maybe they is that going to spoil the decorum if a teleprompter is sitting there?
I don't know, Paul. But you know, one thing I do want to mention this morning.
Yeah.
Do you notice how our governor has got the CEOs of all these big companies very nervous in this country?
He certainly got the CEO of Walt Disney World very nervous.
No, I was reading an article yesterday. All these CEOs, there was a big meeting of all of them.
Really?
They're changing their attitudes about being political activists.
Good for him. And I mean it. That's not their job.
One man stood up to corporate America. Out of all these politicians we got that never done nothing, Republican and Democrat, don't get me wrong. Okay?
Yeah.
One man is standing up to corporate America and changing their attitudes. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, you know, you can say what you want about Governor Ron DeSantis here in Florida, but he's got guts, and he's willing to stand up and take the shots, and he's certainly been getting his share of them. There's a lot of fear of on the left. They're afraid of this guy.
I was communicating with somebody yesterday who was a Charlie Crist supporter.
I can imagine the communication.
He said, well, you know, Ron DeSantis is a bully, you know. I says, well, you know what? You're going to have the opportunity this coming election, I believe, to vote for a bully or a sissy. So you're going to have your choice.
Yeah.
You know, see if you want the sissy in there or you want the bully. I prefer the bully.
I think Ron DeSantis is, I think that there's no way anyone's going to beat him.
That's right.
He's got the vast majority of the state of Florida nodding their head in agreement with the things that he has been doing. This is a great place to come and work. He has kept the environment, even during this pandemic, he has kept this environment open. He is, as much as he can, he has kept businesses open. He's not tried to interfere with their decisions. If they wanted to close, that's fine. He has kept the schools open. And if you wanted to wear a mask, nobody said you can't wear a mask. If you want to put a mask on your child, I don't think there was any school that said, no, you can't do that, because Ron DeSantis just wanted to give the parents the opportunity to make the decisions for their own children, right?
That's it. And you know, Paul, you got this abortion people going on, these women, my body, my choice. Well, what the hell about the vaccine, my body, my choice?
Yeah,
remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, on the one hand, the government can force you to take the vaccine. On the other hand, keep your hands off me. You can't force me to do anything with my body.
Why don't they force these women to take birth control, Paul? They don't have to worry about an abortion.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. We just I don't know if you heard our discussion with Tyler Harris there just before you came on, but, you know, such an interesting thing. I myself think, you know, I'm pro-life, admittedly so. I think it's a crime, I think it's a sin, all that, but I would much rather have the states and the people themselves decide this issue. And if you don't like the decision, then move to a state where you can have the alternative.
You know, Paul, when I was young, abortion, you didn't hear too much about, but you know what you did hear about? Shotgun weddings. Remember that?
Yes. Yes. Well, also, because I remember in high school, I found out an acquaintance and friend of mine, impregnated a girl. And I was just shocked. I was such a, whatever you want to call it, you know, at that time, sheltered. And I couldn't believe it. And I said, well, what's going to happen? You know, well, the girl was going to go away. She was going to disappear for a while and have the baby. And the thought was, well, she's in high school. She'd probably give it up for adoption. And I think that's what occurred. That I remember.
That's it. That's what I mean. Today, they're making such a big deal. But they got to make a big deal out of something, because they got nothing else to make a big deal about. And here, you got Psaki telling these people, go out there and aggravate these people. What is wrong with her?
Yeah.
What is wrong with these Democrats?
She didn't answer the question directly about how do you feel and what does the president think about these demonstrators going to the homes after they were doxxed.
You know what I think?
Wow, I can't believe it.
I think if anything happens to any of these judges' homes or anything happens to them or their families, she should be held accountable, just like they talk about the January 6th insurrection. Trump didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
She's telling them to go do what they got to do.
Not only that, did you know that some pro-choice activists are targeting Catholic churches on Mother's Day? Did you know that?
Well, you know,
I mean, come on. You want to get people aggravated at you? Go attack a church on Mother's Day. Good Lord.
Aggravated, they're going to get him killed.
It's crazy. And I want to mention one guy that stood up in the Democratic Party, though, against what's going on here from Virginia, Senator Mark Warner. He broke ranks with his compatriot. He unequivocally condemned the person who leaked the draft opinion on abortion. He called for prosecution to the full extent of the law. So, you know, it's not 100% that Democrats are that way, but most of them are.
And you know what else, Paul?
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember saying it, but I called whatever this was with this leak came out of Sotomayor's office.
Oh, you think that's where it came?
Oh, I know that's where it came.
Why do you think it's Sonia Sotomayor?
Because she is the most liberal, okay, bigoted person in the world. She is against anything that the normal people want, Paul. She is a total liberal. It came out of her office to try and distract everything that's going on right now. Yes, 100%. I would bet my business on it.
Wow.
And let me tell you, if they find out it's her, she needs to be impeached.
Well, she might.
I don't care if it wasn't her. I don't care if it was one of her aides.
Yeah, I hear you.
She hired them. She know what they are. She's the one to be accountable.
Speaking of finding out who it is, according to John Roberts, they got to find out. They're going to go after that. You would think that they will figure it out if they really want to. Now, the question is whether they will, the mainstream media, if they were really interested. Let's put it, if this had been a conservative putting out this thing and it was working in reverse, do you know how quickly the mainstream media would have been going after the leaker and trying to find out?
That's right. But it's not a hard thing. They only got 12 aides, Paul.
Yeah.
I say they got one out of 12.
Now, the person that would have done this is actually leaked the draft. So they had to have, that person had to have access to the draft. Now, you know, it could have been somebody leaks it to somebody else who leaks it to the press, right? So you can have, there's probably been a handoff here, right? There's been probably a little bit of a conspiracy, right? There's more than one person.
No question. Well, you know what? Everyone should be accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And Sotomayor should be impeached if it goes down to her office. I'm sorry. She's a Barack Obama appointee. I wouldn't doubt that Barack Obama told her to make sure that that gets done, because you know he's the one pulling the strings.
Well, certainly the Democrats are giddy about it. They're just absolutely giddy. They finally found something divisive enough to give them a chance. Well, it's not going to give them a chance. In fact, I think in the long run it's going to hurt them. But they think it's going to give them a chance in November.
Well, there's nothing going to give them a chance in November. Nothing.
I think you're right.
Okay.
I'm almost surprised. I'm thinking that some major cities with congressmen inside those major cities may go down, those Democrats. You know what I mean? The places that you would never think that a Democrat would lose.
Well, Paul, you got to realize that everything that's going on is even hurting the people that are getting welfare. Welfare is not going up, but the prices are.
That's right. All the homeless people are going to be very upset
about
the prices. Oh, my goodness. And when I'm panhandling, you know, it's inflation. Now I got to get more just to stay in place.
No more dollar. You got to give them at least five.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing, Paul. In what, 18, 19 months, the Democrat Party has literally 90% destroyed this country.
I can wait, but it'll be very interesting to see in November how many Democrats. I mean, it's going to look like I don't know what for the in my opinion, for the Democratic Party. I mean, I think there could be so many. And now they're saying, they were not saying this before, but now they're saying the Senate's going to go. It's going to go Republican now.
Yep. And you know, Paul, how you were talking about these abortion people wanting to cause trouble at the Catholic Church on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
I got news for these people. They put the warning out. And a lot of these Catholics pack guns.
Yeah, we don't want to see any violent confrontation, and anybody stupid enough on Mother's Day to go and harass and intimidate people coming out of church or going in.
They're asking for it.
You're absolutely right. Well,
okay. And you know what? I think it needs to happen, Paul. Blow a couple of them away, and I guarantee the crowd won't be as big as it was the last time.
Uh-huh. Well, we don't want to see it.
It's on that way, but you know, sometimes people got to be slapped around, Paul, before they understand something.
Yeah.
They're pushing people too far. They're pushing them to the max, and they're getting away with it because we're letting them.
Yeah.
There is going to be a breaking point, Paul, when all hell is going to break loose when they try to do this.
I think you make good points, as always, Andrew. I want to wish your delightful and wonderful wife, Nicole, a very happy Mother's Day, and of course to everybody in your family and across the country. We're thinking about them on this Sunday, and I know you're doing a Mother's Day haircuts, and that's wonderful, Andrew. So
you got it, buddy.
We'll talk with you, my friend, on Monday, I hope.
All right, Paul. God willing, we make it through another couple days.
Huh? Oh, we will. We will. You keep the faith. Thank you, Andrew.
All right, buddy. You take care.
All right. There he goes. Hey, he's a great guy. You know, the things he does for other people, I mean it. You know, he sounds a little crusty from time to time, got a lot of energy, but the things he does, he's really a great Samaritan. All right, let us take our final break. When we come back, we're going to get some thoughts on what an abortion survivor thinks of overturning Roe versus Wade.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
The Republic of Pinellas, every Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock on WTAN, Tantalk Network, 1340 AM, 106.1 FM. Whether our topic is Donald Trump and the future of the greatest president of the past century, in my humble opinion, whether it's education, whether it is term limits, you'll hear about it here on the Republic of Pinellas on Tantalk Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you, thank you, thank you. We are so happy that you listen to us and grateful that you listen to us. We're on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on the Tantalk Radio Network. But if you miss a show or you can't listen from 10 to 11, thank God for Big Ed. He puts all our shows on podcast. So you can go to our website and listen to our show anytime you would like. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button. Well, Melissa Oden is the founder of a group called the Abortion Survivors Network. And she is indeed a product, a survivor of an abortion. And she says that the leaked Supreme Court abortion ruling left her hopeful, saying legal abortion left her and other abortion survivors with physical, emotional, and mental traumas and disabilities while failing to protect their right to life. She says this, quote, "Abortion survivors in our community are hopeful that the news that the very ruling that attempted to take our lives and left so many of us with physical, emotional, and mental trauma and disability may be overturned. She says abortion survivors in our network are both male and female. They range in age from infants to their 90s. But for female survivors, this particular argument overturning Roe versus Wade is an attack on women's rights. Saying that rings hollow. She said, without first the right to life, there are no other rights. And how can abortion supporters reconcile the current reality that as women who survived abortion attempts, we have the right to procure an abortion in our nation, but we don't have the simple right to be born in the first place? So there you go. Rings pretty interesting, pretty true, in my humble opinion. All right. Well, Ed, there's a lot of sports going on all of a sudden. I've been enjoying. Let's go first to the because I know you're a big Rays fan, and they're doing well all of a sudden. We were a little bit worried about them because they were hovering around 500 or so, but you tell me that they are now in third place in the American League. So, what are they doing right? Is it that they are getting their pitching, or is it hitting, or a combination, or what's going on with them?
Well, yeah, I mean it's a combination of some stuff. The pitching is better, and they've made some adjustments of guys that weren't pulling their weight at the plate.
How about Kirkmeyer?
Kiermaier.
Yeah, whatever.
No, he's still.
Is he woken up yet?
He had a little blip. He won a game with a walk-off, and he's back to his old self. Last night he was 0-for-4 or something like that again, and just.
You know,
we're going to keep hanging. But the thing is, Paul, there was a guy behind him in Brett Phillips. Who this kid, there is a line to get his autograph. He is the new face of the Rays. But he's behind Kiermaier. You know, he at that position, he's behind Kiermaier. And they are missing the boat
Why
on this.
They,
this so, kid is electric when he's on the field.
You would think they would know that. They being the management.
His batting average is way higher than the.
Well, why don't they get him out there?
I don't know. Because you know why? Because Kiermaier's making $12 million a year.
So what? If he's a bust,
and they don't
want
to pay that for a guy that's sitting on the bench.
Yeah, I got you. Wow.
But anyway, they are getting it together, and they're starting to be enjoyable to watch again. Yeah.
Good news. Now, our beloved Lightning are now 1-1.
With that said, they'll probably lose tonight.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. They are playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. They lost the first game 5-0. They came back and won the second game in Toronto, 5-3. Mm-hmm. Now we're here in Tampa.
They'll be here
what
tonight.
What do you think?
Tonight and then Sunday again.
Are you a pessimist or an optimist?
It's hard to figure this team out. It really is. It really is.
You know, just when you think they're doing badly, well, like that 5-0 was really scary.
Yeah, it was just a trouncing. And then they turn around and
they come right over.
They had a really good game.
Back.
I think tonight's game probably sets the tone. If they lose tonight at home, they're going to really be behind.
Is this the
behind.
Key game, do you think?
Yeah.
Whoever wins this game wins the series?
Well, I would think so. I think probably has the advantage whoever wins the game tonight. Because then you're here again Sunday night, and you can pretty much put the nail in the coffin. But you know how things go. You could be up 3-1 and lose 4-3.
Oh, yes.
You know.
Oh, yes.
So
I think this is a very interesting team because we don't know that they're that good. We knew the last 2 years they were great.
Yeah, they were
And they won it.
Yeah.
But this year, we're not so sure. Maybe they're a couple of years, like a little bit older, a little bit slower.
Yeah.
Maybe Vasilevskiy, their goalie, not quite as quick maybe with his glove hand. Don't know.
They lost a few key people, you know, because of salary cap. And stuff like that, so, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
I would think that tonight, it's a sad thing. I mean, the Amalie Arena holds about 17,500 people somewhere, but I can't imagine what ticket prices are.
Yeah.
You priced out the average fan. I don't think the average fan can go to a hockey
game. Several hundred dollars, isn't it?
Oh, it's going to be more than that. Come on.
I mean, I'm talking about the ticket itself.
That's what I'm talking about. The lower bowl is probably anywhere from $400 to $500 a seat. And if you want to sit in the nosebleeds, it's probably at least a couple hundred dollars, at least.
I, for the life of me, cannot believe that people wouldn't want to sit in front of a big TV screen, get the replays and all of that for free.
Being there is
yeah,
definitely
there is.
Different.
I know there is. Yeah. I know. In fact, in hockey, I think it is exciting.
But at the
there.
End of the night, you still got your money in your pocket when you're at home.
Okay. Now, Ed, what kind of a vehicle do you own?
A 2003 Ford Explorer.
It's a Ford Explorer. All right. We're now going to do the top 10 most dependable vehicles, and I want to see if the Ford Explorer might be on this list, okay? This is for 2022, and it's J.D. Powers that did it. So what they do is they go a number of problems per 100 vehicles.
Okay.
Number of problems. So the better the vehicle, the fewer the problems per 100 vehicles. So here we go. Number 10, Chevrolet. Good old Chevrolet mm-hmm. is number 10. 171 problems per 100 vehicles, okay? Mm-hmm. See the USA in your Chevrolet?
And that's all models, huh?
Yeah, okay. We're just doing okay. a general okay. vehicle. Correct, that's yeah. right. J.D. Powers. Number 9, Cadillac. Well, we used to think Cadillac, you know, it's cut above and all mm-hmm. that. 168 problems per 100 vehicles. Number 8, and I think this is trucks, Dodge. Dodge, 166 problems per 100 vehicles. Number 7, well, the very expensive Porsche. Mm. Porsche, my goodness. You would think that they would be kind of like, you know, everything is tight and, you know.
Top 5.
Yeah, yeah, 162 problems per 100 vehicles. Number 6, Lexus. Lexus, they've always got a good reputation. 159 problems per 100 vehicles. Number 5, Toyota. Yeah, overall, Toyota's doing well. 158 problems per 100 vehicles. Number 4, I don't even know what this is. Genesis? Do you know what it is? Is that a truck?
No, I don't know what that is.
I got to look up Genesis. Anyway, 155 problems per 100 vehicles. Number 3, now we go to Korea. Hyundai. Hyundai, you're yawning, Ed. Aren't you excited about this?
Sure.
No, you're not. 148 problems per 100 vehicles. Number 2, would you believe Buick?
Buick.
Would you believe Buick is second? Wow. 147 problems for 100 vehicles. They're making a comeback. All right. I know you don't know for sure. Would you want to hazard a guess the number one most dependable vehicle, whether it's a truck or it's a car?
How about Ford?
That's a good guess. But it ain't right. Mm. I think I would have guessed possibly Ford. But it's the Kia. The Kia, isn't that Korean?
Yeah.
145 problems per 100 vehicles. It ranks number one. We used to make fun of the Korean cars.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
You make fun no more.
No more we make fun. All right. Well, thank you so very much. As we said before, happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful mothers. Have a wonderful weekend. We will be back on Monday. But please remember, always, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3